Good morning. A Wednesday morning, and we are with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, Coalition of Government Reform Groups, this is from our Karen DeWitt, say the New York State Legislature should consider limiting some of Governor Andrew Cuomo's emergency powers gained during the pandemic and return, at least remotely, to meeting in session to set policy for New York. We've heard criticism of this already from Nick Langworthy, the head of the Republican Party in New York State.
Well, David, I think the issue with Governor Cuomo is he abusing that power? One of the things, David, that is happened here is that the legislature willingly gave him that power. Now there are those who are nervous about it. We still don't know if the money is coming back, whether the federal government will do what Cuomo wants and supply the states and localities with a lot of money, because otherwise they are at least $16 billion in the hole. So in other words, the exigencies that led to this state of affairs have not dissipated. They're not gone. So it makes little sense other than the fact that a lot of people are sitting at home, sitting on their hands and saying, I wonder what we're going to do here because I have nothing to do. Maybe somebody will make a little trouble. Now, look, there's always going to be tension between the various branches of government. In New York, we have a governor who is aggressive. We have a legislature where the members are not all that aggressive. Everybody's been hiding. So now you say, well, the pandemic is here. What are we going to do? Are we going to be able to put a lid on all of this? And the answer is no. They don't know what they're doing. So they just complain, they gripe, and they grouse. Under normal circumstances, certainly it would be wrong to give the governor these emergency powers. But this is an emergency. We have the pandemic. Obviously, we have this terrible fiscal situation where we don't know where we're going. Doesn't make a lot of sense to be duking it out. If the legislature and others come up with the things that the governor has done that are wrong, that's another whole story, but they haven't done that. And of course, David, it is Langworthy's job as the loyal opposition to make as much trouble for the governor as he can. On the other hand, there are times, and this is one of them, where things are so difficult that if you're seen as an obstructionist, it won't go well for you. Look, the Republicans are doing terribly in New York State.
Now to the lead story, Trump's worldview forged by neglect and trauma, his niece says in the book. This is from the New York Times. President Trump's view of the world was shaped by his desire during childhood to avoid his father's disapproval, according to the niece, Mary Trump, whose book is by turns a family history and a psychological analysis of her uncle. One of the big claims is that he paid someone to take his SATs.
Well, look, she's a clinical psychologist. She's been trained. She's been close to the Trumps. It's a tell-all book, of course, and it will sell a lot of copies because there are an awful lot of Americans who believe, to begin with, what she's saying. But it is clear that this guy has some problems. He is forever bucking the ideas that have become absolutely germane to the running of government. And we do see that, for example, his relationship with the Russians is pretty interesting, and his knee-jerk reaction towards everybody else is indicative of some deep-rooted problems, I suspect. That's what she's saying, and I believe her.
Top story in the Washington Post this morning. Trump's attacks on voting by mail could backfire. The president's unfounded accusations that voting by mail causes widespread fraud could end up undercutting Republican candidates, alarmed party strategists are saying.
Well, look, we do know that the easier you make it to vote, the better it is for the Democrats. If you're flipping hamburgers, you might not have time to go and vote. If you just have to fill out a ballot, as we recently did here, Roselle and I, it's very easy. Now, of course, we would vote under any circumstances. But if you tell people, we don't want you voting by mail and make up some spurious accusation that it's going to be tainted by fraud, what you've done, basically, is to tick off all those people who would find it easier to vote. And they may get a little bit more motivated to go in person if you say they can't vote by mail. It will certainly hurt the Republicans.
Alan, as a professor emeritus, what do you think about this White House move to strip student visas that could put financial pressure on colleges to remain physically open? In other words, the kids have to meet in a classroom in order to qualify.
Well, look, David, this is just one more move by the Trump administration to make the, quote, foreigners, the others, into the devils. And what they're saying is, we're going to make it impossible for you to stay here. You're going to have to change schools. You're going to have to find a different place to go. It makes it almost impossible. And the idea is to show the base that you're still after the others, those intruders. And that's a very powerful message for a lot of people. You know, David, something else happened that is terrifying to many people, and that is that John Roberts, Chief Justice, had a fall, apparently. And it turns out he's also had other incidents of one kind or another. Not being a doctor, a medical doctor, I can't possibly tell you what it all means. But it is terrifying because he has been the swing vote in many of these cases now, and it's looking more and more like he's using his head and not some kind of political fix to make those decisions. So can you imagine if he goes for any reason, what we would have to face with a divided Supreme Court 4-4? It would not be a good thing. Who would know that a young man, a relatively young man, I think he's 65, something like that, would be in such trouble?
Data. Congress created virus aid, then reaped the benefits. Probably no shock, Alan, but newly released government data from the AP shows at least a dozen lawmakers have ties to organizations that received federal coronavirus aid. Among businesses that received money was a California hotel partially owned by the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as well as a shipping business started by Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao's family. Chao was married to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, of course. It goes on and on.
You know what, David? This isn't good. This program was really to get America working again, and the stench of corruption does surround it. If you say to people, we're going to give you free money, many people will take it. There are people who really are in terrible trouble. And for many of them, this program helped. But of course, Nancy Pelosi's people and everybody else, they're entitled to the money. It's just that it doesn't look good.